Techno Progressivo. You are listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR in Vancouver.
Welcome to Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Waugh, and you're listening to 101.9 CITR here in Vancouver. I'm proud to work and live on the unceded territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. Tonight is all about part two of the Glenn Morrison interview, more great insight and more great music, and we will get to that shortly, but first let's check out this episode's track of the week. Some amazing tech house on offer here from Dario Nunez. This is Take This Out.
My dreams into
Bay, an amazing track of the week there. Dario Nunez does it upright with Take This Out. That's available now on Hotel Records and can be had wherever you buy your tracks. On to the feature for tonight's episode. This is the second of 2 hours with Toronto's Glenn Morrison. More great music and conversation coming up. Here we talk diversifying labels, gigging history, and hopes for the future. The lead track on this one is Dusty Kid's remix of the track Hypnotism. Full track list and a selection of Glenn Morrison web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Okay, in addition to Fall From Grace, you run 3 other labels. How do you find the time to fit all of that in, and what is the status for each of those?
Ambient Wave kind of served as a dumping ground for everything that was electronic, but it wasn't necessarily like the Fall From Grace sound. So Ambient also was a collection of old records from back in the day with the old Morrison Recordings label. So some of these artists don't exist today. Some of them have, you know, less than 50 monthly listeners on their Spotify, and they don't exist, but it's nice to have that old music somehow represented online, because otherwise it would just be lost into the ether forever. So there was a lot of music that never survived the digital transformation and the takeover, whether it's due to licensing or out of out of contract, or the artist passed away, or maybe they just stopped making music. There was a lot of really great records pre-2000, mid-2000s even. That's where Ambient Wave, we have some of that old music that's on there. A lot of the newest catalog is more related to the newer music, but a lot of that old catalog started off, that's what Ambient Wave started really as. Then you have Wolf Records, which was classical piano, all my classical piano recordings, which I still do today. You know, a lot of people don't listen to electronic or pop, and don't like, some people don't like that style, but they do like classical. So that's my roots and my background. And, you know, I have the grand piano in the studio, and I have three microphones set up. So yeah, I take care to make it sound as good as I can. And we have that classical label. And then there's Dying Light, which is our pop label, where we do the Billboard top 40 stuff. You know, we've had great success. We've had a few number ones. We've had a few top 20s. You know, it's much different style of music. It's, you know, 3.5 minutes. Good songwriting is the focus. It's not really club mixes. It's not, you know, maybe it can be dance pop, but the style is more about, you know, more of a commercial focus. All these labels I work on in different capacities, depending on what I'm doing at that given month or moment. And they're all valuable in their own way. I wouldn't want to just have one label where I'm putting all this music out on one label. It feels a bit insincere, because the labels should all have their own vision.
also head up Alpine Mastering, and based on photos that I looked at online, it looks to be a state-of-the-art studio. What can you tell me about that business venture, and how is that going for you?
Alpine Mastering Studio is an extension of what I was already doing for years, where like I was mixing and mastering for friends, I'd be doing composing, doing random projects all the time for different artists, different friends, different clients. So then eventually we just consolidated the company, and it started off as a mixing and mastering studio, and then it grew into essentially what it is today, which is, you know, of course we have our labels, but also I manage and look after another 15 labels, give or take. We work within the Sony network, sometimes Universal, depending on the territory. And then it's really an entertainment group. We're also doing international shows and throwing events around the world, depending on where we are, what artists we are doing, and what style of music. So it's turned into many faceted music industry mechanism, right? So you have different things for different reasons. So people need, you know, record campaigns and getting things out properly in that way, we can help there. We also do mixing and mastering for clients around the world. So if people, you know, need even like vocal tracking sessions, we can help assist. If people need singers and vocal features, we assist with things like that. You could think of it like a white glove service for all things related to composing and production writing. It's exciting. It's fun to be able to have a studio like this. The Alpine, in a nutshell, is like the vehicle that drives the whole machine of this business, which, you know, where it takes me on a given day is up to the clients and what work I have on the table.
This is Kill Frenzy.
Hey, this is Yaddo.
This is Charlie Johansson.
Hey, this is Prince Philip.
Hi, this is James Avila, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo on 101.9 CITR.
We'll be right back.
Okay, let's talk about DJing here. Based on what I could find online, it looks as though you've taken a bit of a break from regular DJing. What's prompted this shift, and do you still get out for the occasional gig?
Yeah, I used to tour like really hardcore. I was doing over 150,000 miles a year flying, and it was almost every day. As soon as I turned 21, that's when I got my agents and we got all sorted out for me, my O1 in America. So I started touring in America, and I had my residency in Vegas, and it was through Paul Oakenfold's night, actually, coincidentally enough. So one of my heroes, when I wound up playing for his night in Vegas, he helped me a lot in America. And then, of course, the Amnesia and Ibiza and Space and Ibiza, Space Miami. Things just happened after the other. So I did tour a lot. Then Corona hit, and everybody was at home. So I wasn't touring at all. I did a lot of modular work. I did a lot of studio work. And to this day, you know, I haven't really been touring like the old days. We are going to be doing a Mediterranean tour in the summertime, which I'm looking forward to. I know there's Japan, there's South America, like Brazil, Argentina. There is kind of gigs and wonderful shows that are forthcoming, but it's a little bit more picky now because the world is also a very different place. And I'm at a point too where the business of Alpine is going very well. Why would I want to fly halfway around the world and be exhausted and or stressed and or in a dangerous situation when I can just be home working in the studio, developing new projects, new music? So as I've gotten older, I've toured less, mostly out of my own volition. I do have the touring bug once in a while when shows are good and opportunities are good. Like, absolutely, I'll do gigs. I guess I have the blessing to be free to make that choice, right? So, but in my 20s, it was always hustle mode. Okay, gigs, gigs, gigs. We'll just keep going. Gigs. And then I was saving that money and buying gear for my studio. Instead of fancy cars and fancy watches, I was putting that money into studio gear and trying to get my studio better. And so now that I've got my studio where it needs to be, it's more like, how can I create? How can I make an impact? You know, for touring and stuff, very interested. It sounds nice when the opportunities are good. We'll be right back.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day. Pick up a copy around Vancouver or fuck with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
You are listening to the Glenn Morrison interview here on Techno Progressivo. I'm DJ Wah, and the station is 101.9 CITR. That half of the interview wrapped up with his track, Contact. Full track list and a selection of Glenn Morrison web links can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Part 2 kicks off with the track, Space With You. And carrying on with the DJing theme here, can you think of any festivals, clubs, events, anything along the way that you performed at that really stood out to you as an absolute wow moment?
Oh, man, yeah, there's so many gigs. There's one gig off the cuff always that comes to mind. It was Pete Tong, Armin, Ben Buren, David Guetta, and myself on a carnival in Brazil, and it was like a million people. It was free for the city. It was during COVID. We were on a float, and every 30 minutes or so, you had to switch up the DJ, and the float would just go through the city. Carnival time, very, very nice memories, very nice memories. And frankly, a lot of my touring with Armin, some of the best memories of my life, touring with Armin. David Guetta, too. I toured a lot with David. He helped me in a lot of markets in Eastern Europe, and he was very kind to me, and I just have a lot of nice memories like that. Venues, to get specific on venues, if we're thinking of venues, like I had a residency in Amnesia for 3 years in Ibiza. Amnesia was a club I dreamed about when I was like a high school kid learning how to DJ on turntables in my parents' basement. So yeah, that was very, very cool to be playing there. And then there was Space in Ibiza, Space in Miami, Ajiha in Japan, Cabo Paradiso in Mykonos a few times, Green Valley in Brazil, Passion in New York. Like I played everywhere. I was really blessed. Yeah, every country had its own charm. Some gigs were more memorable than others. Sometimes I played better, and sometimes I had crap gigs too. You live and you learn, right? You put your head in the sand if you think every gig was always perfect. But I think as I got older, I was really young when I started touring. So as I got older, and you know, you respect the position you're being put in, and I always made sure my sets were unique. I always made sure I have custom intros, custom outros. Be respectful to the DJ after me if I was opening and not headlining. That you have to always be respectful as an opening act. So I knew my role. I knew when to stay in my lane when I needed to. Those were some of the best memories of my life touring like that.
Okay, tough question time here. Reflecting back on your full body of work, can you think of one or two tracks that you've made that really stood out as some of the best music you've ever produced, and what made it so special?
A Tangerine Dream and Beyond the Pale were some of my recent ones. I was really proud of them because they were born from this idea of live music, electronic jam sessions. Like, you're just making music live. It's on the go. You make sure to record everything, and then you take the good bits and turn them into songs. And those two tracks around that Corona time changed how I perceived making electronic music for my songs today. So all my songs today, they're all started from, whether it's synthesizers, outboard, or the modular, or a combination of both. All my new songs are based this way. I just kind of like jamming, making some nice riffs and melodies, and then playing it live, modulating, taking the best bits. Those songs I'm very proud of. I'm also very proud of the stuff from 20 years ago that I did with Joel, like Contact or No Sudden Mood, Circles, Hydrology. Like, we did a lot of great records together, even the Daft Punk. There were so many things that we did together at that time that were really cool. And it's hard to say what record I'm the most proud of or my best track. I don't really think there's like a best track. It's like, you're creating art, and some of it hits harder than others. Some of it I look back on and I don't like. Some of my old records, I'm like, oh, I don't like this record at all. But some of the records I do. So that's nice. You know what I mean? Like, to have objectivity like that and see where you are and where you were and where you came from, and is there progress? Is there not? Looking at yourself in a outside of body.
Okay, gazing into that crystal ball here, can you tell me what your vision is both in production, and you did mention earlier a couple of DJing gigs, but in DJing as well, where do you want to continue to take this going forward?
I mean, I basically have a release going out every Friday until the end of the year. So whether it's a single or an EP or an LP or an album or a compilation, I have music going out every week. The vision for my next 3, 6, 12 months is just to keep my head down, to be very focused with the sheer amount of music that I'm writing and who I'm collaborating with. A lot of people, we have our vinyl labels as well as our digital labels. How do we do good promo? How do we satisfy the client requests for mixing, just keeping Alpine and all the clients happy, and how do we get them to grow and become bigger themselves? How can we help them? There's a lot of responsibilities that I put on my shoulders, which I do willingly because I love working in this business and I really love working in music. So it's a blessing in that sense. But for me, DJing wise, I see, you know, we have our Mediterranean tour, which will cover Spain, Greece, Italy, Malta. That's going to be in summer. I'm excited for that. We have Japan, we have Asia as well later in the year. I know that we have South America for our winter, but their summertime. So like maybe around December, January of 2020, end of 2024, or early 2025. Yeah, we have tours coming up and a whole bunch of wonderful things that everybody can, you know, if they want to buy tickets to these events, sure, I might as well plug it. You know, please just go to the websites of, you know, glennmorrison.com or fallfromgracerecords.com. And, you know, we're always going to have tickets for sale for these shows. We have vinyls for sale, merchandise, everything. The future really is just being busy in music. And hopefully it resonates. Like, I mean, you reached out to me and, you know, we had a nice back and forth. And, you know, it's nice to know that my music gets cared about enough that, you know, warrants having an interview. You know what I mean?
Hey, this is Morgan Page.
Hey, this is Pete from Small Town DJs.
Hey, this is Miguel Mig.
Hi, this is Kevin Shu.
This is Bryn Lytle, and you're listening to Techno Progressivo.
You are going on a ride.
Okay, final question for you here. At this stage of your career, is there anything that is still uncharted territory and other things that you might want to do?
Definitely, man. Every time I see this, it's a great question, because every time it's like, okay, I never did an essential mix. I want to do an essential mix. I want to do a BBC essential mix. 2 hours, grew up on this stuff, and I would love to do one. So that's something that's escaped me so far. I haven't got that. I would love to play at Coachella. I have not played at Coachella. What was the one in the UK? Creamfields. I never played Creamfields. I always wanted to play. I don't even know if Creamfields is good today like it used to be. I know it used to be unbelievable. I still imagine it in my head to be amazing. So, you know, I'd love to play Creamfields. Tomorrowland would be cool. I would like to do the Tomorrowland in Europe. That one looks insane. Yeah, there's certain things. Oh, Red Rocks as well. That's like an incredible venue. I'm not big enough of an artist to sell enough tickets to even play there. But like, you know, if I ever was piggybacked onto a bigger act to open or whatever. Yeah, Red Rocks, you know, that's an incredible venue. There's still plenty of places I have yet to dip my hat, so to speak. But I'm very grateful for whatever opportunities present itself, you know, for shows. And then the odd random small rave in the middle of nowhere is always fun too, right? So it really depends on the context and what are we doing. Yeah, hopefully I'll have that Coachella and that essential mix next time we speak.
This has been Glenn Morrison. A selection of his tracks can be found on Beatport, Apple Music, Spotify, and Juno Download. As well, a full list of Glenn Morrison and Fall From Grace Weblings can be found on the Techno Progressivo Facebook page, and thank you very much for doing this.
Discorder Magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder Magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
We are all done for another episode of Techno Progressivo. Thank you so much to Glenn Morrison for agreeing to interview. This wraps up the full 2-hour conversation. A lot of great music, proving once more that house music is thriving in Canada. Glenn Morrison's track Losing Control rounded out the interview. Full track list and a selection of his weblinks can be found on Techno Progressivo's Facebook page. Head over there to find out more about the mind behind the music. If you've enjoyed the show and want to hear it again, visit the Techno Progressivo show page at CITR.ca or Apple Podcasts. To give this one another spin, to hear more great guest mixes and interviews from days gone by, keep up to date with Techno Progressivo. Follow our socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud. Attic Jams is up next on the station. Stick around to see what they've got in store for you tonight. Before we go, let's do as we always do and set the controls in the time machine for this episode's track from the past. For this one, we're going to hop back 12 years in time to 2012 to showcase some beautiful prog house. Hot Chip's track Flute gets the Sasha treatment on the remix. Enjoy this, and I will see you back here next time.
music.